This is James R. Copeland, the director of the Center for Legal Policy at the Manhattan Institute. And I, in that role, oversee our new shareholder proposal corporate governance website, proxymonitor.com, that looks at shareholder proposals and shareholder activism as they relate to corporate governance of the largest 200 public companies by revenues. We recently released a summary of our 2012 proxy season analysis, Proxy Monitor 2012. And to discuss that with me, or at least a section of that report, I've got the pleasure of welcoming Colin Levy, who is a member of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal. And specifically what the Wall Street Journal's been focusing on over the last year in corporate governance is the substantial increase in the number of proposals related to corporate political spending. I cover this in my report. I'll get to some of those numbers in a minute. But Colin, at the outset, I'd just be interested in why is the Wall Street Journal so concerned about this effort afoot of shareholder activism focused on corporate political spending?
Hi, Jim. Yeah, you know, it's interesting. As the way that we're looking at it, a lot of this comes from our concern about the political winds in the aftermath of Citizens United. And, you know, the point of all of these proxy proposals and the shareholder activism is really to discourage companies from donating and from getting involved in politics and from exercising those, reestablished First Amendment rights that they gained with that decision. So, you know, with many of these proposals, we're looking at elements who are pushing them, political groups, unions, some of these social investing funds, for whom the real primary goal are returns that are political, not financial. So their basic agenda is more in line with, you know, Democrats' political agenda than it is necessarily with the vast majority of shareholders.
Fascinating. Well, we have seen an increase in this since Citizens United. There's no question that decision sort of spurred activism in this area. Looking at our proxy monitor data at the Fortune 200 companies, it was a company was about 9 to 11% likely to see one of these proposals prior to Citizens United. And in the year Citizens United came out, it bumped up to 14%. It subsequently has doubled up to 28% probability of a large company to see one of these political spending disclosure or other political spending related proposals in 2012. Now, what's interesting, though, is we have not seen significant traction being gained for these proposals, such that this year we actually set a low over our database, which goes back to 2006, the lowest year on record for support for these spending-related proposals, political spending-related proposals, only 17% average shareholder vote. Now, it's important to qualify that by saying there are more extreme proposals being submitted this year, a number of proposals looking for shareholder advisory votes on political spending or prohibiting corporate political spending. But even the subset of proposals that are basic political spending disclosure proposals being pushed by the Center for Political Accountability, which is run by a former Democratic congressional staffer named Bruce Fried, Even those basic shareholder proposals for political spending disclosure, you've seen a drop this year from about 26% shareholder average vote to about 22-23% in 2012. Why do you think it is that shareholders haven't been embracing these proposals?
Well, I think that most shareholders, as we get back to it, are really looking to maximize their profits. That's their primary goal. And as we were talking about before, many of these things are highly political. And basically asking companies to unilaterally disarm politically when a lot of times it's shown that their engagement in the political process either helps them fight for lower taxes or fight punitive regulations or, you know, any of these things that are in their direct interest as well as the interest of economic growth more broadly. Those are reasons that companies spend politically. They don't tend to spend politically, you know, on random social issues. They tend to spend along the lines of their own interests. And so, I think that's why these things haven't gained traction with shareholders who see that quite clearly. And you mentioned Bruce Fried, and I know he's been very involved with trying to make it seem as though these resolutions are getting a little bit more traction, but it just doesn't seem to be catching on the way he'd like.
Yeah, that's certainly the data we've looked at. He's quibbled with some of our data. I think it's somehow how he's counting it. He's trying to show more support than there actually is. In fairness, I mean, it clearly could be the case that some of these companies have changed their practices in terms of what they're disclosing and what they aren't. It also, of course, could be the case that they're just communicating this issue more powerfully to their base of institutional shareholders. What's interesting is that there's a significant disconnect between the leading proxy advisory firm, Institutional Shareholder Services, and what shareholders are actually doing. So only one of these proposals has gotten 50% support, and that was at Amgen in 2006 after the board actually supported that proposal. Every other proposal has gotten under majority support at the Fortune 200 over the last 7 years. But 70% of these proposals have been supported by ISS, and that's something I looked at in a new Wall Street Journal op-ed that came out on September the 8th. So I think that does, to some degree, from my perspective, buttress this notion that a lot of these, they're not only being sponsored primarily by these social investing funds or labor union pension funds that may have some agenda different from the average shareholder interest, but it seems to be that the proxy advisory firm, at least the leading one, seems to be following along with that. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, again, I think the real thing here is that the perception is incredibly important to the groups that are pushing these proposals. And this is a situation where for groups like the labor unions and the social investing funds, if they can create the impression that they are able to give businesses a big headache at any turn, then that can, you know, they hope that that'll encourage businesses to reform their practices within, so that it isn't necessarily a matter of a proxy proposal, but that companies are somehow acting proactively. We haven't seen a lot of that actually going on, but certainly going forward and beyond this election year, that'll be one of the key issues, you know, not just when we're in a presidential campaign, but when they're looking at, you know, more local races.
Yeah, that's an interesting point, because some folks have said, well, this is largely being driven by the presidential political campaign. Do the folks at the Wall Street Journal have any sort of assessment on whether they think this is something that we're going to see continuing? I mean, clearly, there's a plurality of all shareholder proposals this year have been related to corporate political spending, mm-hmm. but they're not seeing traction. So do we think we're going to keep seeing them after the presidential year is something I've been asking. Do you folks have any thoughts on that?
I mean, I suspect we'll continue seeing it, and sometimes they'll maybe even have a little bit more influence, because if you target politicians at, you know, at a more local level, or you're discouraging a particular company from donating to its own trade group that's donating to a local chamber of commerce, or some of these situations where things are a little bit tighter, a little bit more local, and they feel that they can exert pressure, you know, in states or in cities where races are particularly important, particularly tight, I think that's where they're going to really try to intimidate some of these businesses, and you'll see the impact even more.
Interesting. Well, we'll certainly be following it very carefully with the Manhattan Institute Proxy Monitor Project, and I'm sure the Wall Street Journal and its editorial board will be keeping an eye on it as well. Again, this has been James R. Copeland, the director of the Center for Legal Policy at the Manhattan Institute, and our proxymonitor.org website on corporate governance. My pleasure to have with us today Colin Levy of the Wall Street Journal. Thanks, Colin.
Thanks, Sam.